Crumple.
There. Now we have we've got the noise, the room noise now. Okay. The crumpling bag.
Sure.
I can do that through the whole show, and if I put it in as room noise, then you don't hear it.
Yeah.
Clever no.
That's right. Clever no. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
Thank you very much for your kind attention. And
you're welcome.
All right. There we go. I always like to thank David off the top for paying attention to... I was going to say for paying attention to the things I say, but apparently that's not the case.
No, I don't.
Thanks for just being here.
I do listen to you.
Yeah, okay.
I don't pay attention.
No. All right. When this episode drops...
A lot of white noise.
When this episode drops, it will be Halloween. So happy Halloween to all you ghouls and ghosties and werewolves.
Scary day.
Those of you in ethnically insensitive costumes, come on, smarten up. Right. Except for leprechauns. That's okay. We're okay with that. But the rest come on, buddy.
Culturally insensitive?
Yeah, I don't think there's actually real leprechauns, so we're all right.
That's right.
Yeah, they're mythological, so it's fine.
Okay.
I went to our D&D show yesterday. We all dress up on Halloween for our Critical Hit
That's
show.
That's right, because during the regular run of the show,
we're ourselves.
The actors... Just wear your regular street clothes.
Generally, yeah. We accessorize sometimes.
You wear a bathrobe.
You wear a little something on top.
Slippers.
But the other people, one dressed like Stephen Harper.
Okay.
One
popular.
Dressed as a manga character. That was pretty good.
Stuff like that.
And I dressed as a mythological character, someone that saw Tomorrowland in the theater.
Okay.
No one's ever seen one of these people before.
Is that right?
Ever.
Was that movie a flop?
Yes.
A flopperoo?
It was a flopperoo that probably will become a cult hit over time as people watch it, I think. I think they will dig it.
Oh, big words.
It's not really that big a deal.
No, you really put yourself out there.
Yep, I sure did.
Can't believe
it. I sure did.
Out on a limb.
That's right.
Don't cut it behind
Endorsing
you.
Endorsing a Brad Bird movie. That guy. What a risk. No, I think it'll do. I think it'll do fine.
Was it badly marketed?
Yeah.
Because I like John Carter
they didn't
of Mars.
Spoil
I'm
nothing.
Thinking of another film directed by an alum of Pixar.
Yeah.
Which was John Carter of Mars. It was directed by someone who did animation
you
for Pixar.
You are actually making the title too long.
John Carter.
That's right.
Which maybe was a problem with
maybe
the film.
Maybe that's a problem. Who's this John Carter guy?
No one knows.
Is this was this about the president?
That's right.
In the
Jimmy
70s?
Jimmy Carter's brother,
this about
George.
Malaise? Is this
His other brother. Where was he? I remember it was Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had a brother. He was like a big deal because he was a slob and not a...
Billy
Carter.
Which is why you had your Billy beer.
And then John Carter was his very conservative brother who was actually like a staunch supporter of the Republican Party. That's what the film was about.
Is that right?
I think so. I didn't see it actually because, I don't know. Who wants to see a film about that?
Yeah. And yet,
no one.
And yet you just said that you liked it.
I did. I
so
liked
it. So if you we play the tape back, everybody, Nixon style,
what?
We play the tape back.
I believe there's a little
see.
Thing called editing that I don't do.
Right. Now, has John Carter redeemed itself via the people watching it on Netflix and whatnot? Like, have enough people gone, you know what? This is pretty good. Like, is it just generally considered now
but you know
like
what?
A
it's
good
too,
film?
It's too late. And you
For
know
what?
You know the
don't
film.
Don't you have eternity now to make your money back?
But no, and because they
don't.
They want to make money in the theaters, and that's what that's what makes you make the next film. It's not how it does on Netflix. It's how it does in the theater.
They're not going to well
because there'll never be another Judge Dredd or another Dredd because that film was a flopperoo. And so when a film's a flop and a studio loses $30 million on a film, you know, like they spent $50 million making the movie and made $8 million in theaters,
right?
I think it was more than that, but you know what I mean. It was. I think it made 30
Is
million
it more
worldwide.
Of a flop than the Stallone one?
No, I think the Stallone one was actually a success compared to the Dredd, which was a much better film.
And yet, of the two of them, when you hear about Stallone's Dredd, you don't go woo. You hear the other Dredd, you go like, hey. I heard good stuff.
I heard Dave watch that movie 5 times, which is true. I have because I've made 5 different people watch it.
Okay.
And I watch it with them.
And you only watch movies once.
Really, but I like that film a lot.
Okay.
In fact, I think I would compare it to in terms of. An idea as to the Raid Redemption, but I actually prefer it to that film.
Mm-hmm.
Although I like
both
I
trapped
like Raid,
in a building kind
both
of
trapped in building movies where you're
hyper violent,
where you're fighting your way floor to floor.
Right,
very violent. That's right. But I prefer Dredd. One is I like the character Judge Dredd from the comic. So is it fun to watch a film that succeeded in the character and he never takes his helmet off. It's great in that sense. It doesn't like deviate from the film from the book or the comic, but. It wasn't a success, and it doesn't matter how many people watch it on Netflix or buy the DVD. It doesn't matter because the producers of it do not want to take a bath in the theater.
And let me ask you this about Judge. Well, there's a couple of things about Judge Dredd.
Sure. And I'm just quoting Alex Garland, the screenwriter of the movie, who did Ex Machina as well.
All right. So here's what I'm wondering about the Judge Dredd movie. Do you think the fact that it was Dredd, do you think that was a detriment to it? Like, if it was a movie like Ray, where it was just like a little bit in the future, some bad guys are in a building, it's a little sci-fi, we're going to work our way up, his partner's psychic, and it's just that, and you didn't have the guy in the helmet, who has like a comic book background, so when people go, what's this about? It's a comic book, is it? I don't want that. So if it's people that don't like comic books, they're not going to dig it. But if it's people like comic books, they might not dig it because it's just a guy
shooting
the shit. Well, yeah, first it's British, and then it's a guy, it's really hyper, like people are getting their skin torn off. Like it's harsh.
In flashes, yeah. It's true, you do see that, but it's
a jarring image. Yeah, like off the get-go, you're like,
you're right.
Whoa. So you kind of, you pull away from both those markets. You know, if you're someone who likes a hyper violent movie, you might think it's like a superhero film and go, none of that for me, thanks.
Yeah. It might have fallen between three different stools rather than just two.
That's right.
More of the point is that, like with Tomorrowland, there won't be a Tomorrowland 2, most likely. Even if everyone gets on the bandwagon.
There wouldn't be anyway, really. Okay. There's no point to it.
Well, that doesn't stop people from making Terminator 3.
Incredibles 2. Yeah,
or Incredibles 2, which is, that's a complete film that doesn't need a continuation. The only proper continuation.
It'd be like Iron Giant 2. You'd be like, don't do it. Don't. There's no point.
The only proper continuation of Incredibles is the little film that comes with a DVD of the baby with the babysitter, so you can see what was happening while they were on the island. You see her experiences. Carrie, I think her name is the babysitter. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very funny and very good, and it doesn't wreck the film or change what happened.
It's actually, if you like that, you would also probably like Kyle Baker's story he did. And I forget what her name was, but it was like her name had two L's in it, as everything in the Superman universe does. But it was Superman's babysitter when he was a baby.
Oh, see, that'd be great.
So the Kent sleeve and whatever. And the problem with that one was they put it in, I forget the book that they put it in, but it got banned because at one point, baby Clark goes into a microwave, and the microwave turns on, and people were like, no, we can't have that. Then everyone went, we want to see the story, and it got so we want to see the story, they eventually put it out there, and because it got so much publicity, it won for best short story that year at the Eisners.
Good for him.
Right, and as we all know, the best short story at the Eisners Award is bogus, because anyone can win that shit, right?
Clarify this. You won Best Short Story at the Eisners.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay, well, I hung myself on that one.
It's an elite award, obviously.
Okay, yeah, that's
but
right.
Only a favored few have ever won.
Right. I feel like I'm insulting Nina Matsumoto as well.
Yeah.
She also, and Andrew Papoy.
You're a bit of a jerk.
I am, a little bit. You know what I think,
An
though?
Overly modest jerk.
Yeah, you know what I think, though, is probably going to happen to Judge Dredd? And I don't know where the rights are right now and who owns what for how long. And oh, lordy, is that always a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say they could do it on something like the Sci-Fi Network as like a series or, HBO or whatever. Like it would be nice if, it was one that had enough budget and would do like a nice short run or something. I could see them pulling that off.
I would have loved to see in a second. I would love to see, once again, Judge Dredd and Judge Anderson together because they were great in the comics.
Yeah.
But also, it would be fun to see the Death Judges.
That that's where I would film. I would like to see it. I would like to see it more as a TV series because you that's really more like what 2000 AD was, right?
Yeah.
So you can then serialize have the funny episodes. You can have the dark episodes with the dark judges. You can have one that's just Judge Anderson.
Yeah.
Whereas you have a movie, you're obligated to hit so many bases that sometimes you can't hit all the ones you want, and then you got to wait another like 4 years to do another movie if it's a hit. So just do a damn TV series and then you get to have some fun.
Well, when I was reading that story, I was thinking, when I was reading the story, because I was curious, I had watched Dredd again for the 400th time, and I thought, I was kind of curious. I was like, well, I wonder if they're making a second one.
Is it stuck in your DVD player and you just can't get it out?
I don't know how to work it. And the clock keeps blinking on 12. I don't know what's
wrong.
Wow,
you got a clock in your DVD player.
I know, it's weird, but anyway. And it's analog, and it still blinks.
Do you know what I think your problem is?
Yes.
You've put a DVD in a VHS machine.
You're right. That is a problem. I'm not even watching Dredd. I think I've been really, really enjoying old episodes of Matlock I taped 10 years ago.
Good.
I wondered why Judge Dredd was wearing a white suit all the time. But I was reading. I went to look on these. I was looking at these stories about Judge Dredd, and it was, I was reading. I was thinking to myself, it's interesting that films that are big deals, or you know, possibly big deals, to and would appeal to a particular group of the audience. You know, like so, kind of nerdy films,
yeah.
Science fiction-y or whatever. I'm thinking Scott Pilgrim, mm-hmm. Dredd, Tomorrowland. Just absolutely do nothing in the theater. Because they don't have the hype machine behind them of Marvel or Disney with Star Wars and stuff like that. And then so tons of people just download them and watch them illegally. And there's no audience. There's no visible audience for these films. And they just go away.
Right.
Because way more than $30 million worth of people have seen Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that did not pay for
you
that.
You wonder if there's any, I mean.
And that's the audience that's going to do that, you know, like the audience mm-hmm. that's going to go see The Notebook. Most of those people aren't going to be downloading it at home and watching it.
No, they'll watch it and they'll just immediately forget it and they'll watch it again.
Watch it again, exactly. And that's that audience, you know, like it's a different age group, you know, mm-hmm. that it's appealing to. And then the films that appeal to younger people, they'll go because it's just an experience to go to a theater and buy popcorn and pop and have a night out.
Right.
You know, but there's a particular, you know, age group, interest group that don't want to leave their bedrooms. So
yeah, and you got to give them a reason to. You got to give them a Star Wars or something. Mm-hmm. It's weird, actually. Like when we're talking. Well, all right. I want to talk. I'll talk about Star Wars in a second. But I wonder with things like the Dredd movie. You know, so it's a bomb. You know, it's not a bomb. It's great, but you know. And I do think at some point through streaming, it will make. It'll consistently be bringing in money for a long period of time. But it'll be playing somewhere.
The producer will always have a film that cost that much that made this much and he lost, you know, a couple, you know, let's say he lost around $30 million on the film.
Okay. Well, that film, I mean, that's sometimes
that's a chance you take. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. That's a chance you take.
Like you've got, okay, let me give
you. I'm not feeling sorry for him, but I'm just saying that there's no incentive for him to make a Dredd 2.
I'm sorry. I'm blanking
although
on.
Although I've heard that he wants to.
I think it was Planet Money. They had they were talking about this producer, and he does all these low budget movies.
Okay.
So he does your Paranormal Activity films and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And those make money like crazy. Yes,
because
like,
they're well marketed.
Well, the first Paranormal Activity movie basically, and this sounds like I'm exaggerating, but I'm really not. It's like, it cost about $50,000 to make. Like it really was that low. It mm-hmm. was ridiculously low.
Yeah.
And it made like $12 million in the theater.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you compare, you know, amount to make to amount made, it blew like Clerks out of the water, which I think was one of the previous holders of that. Anyway, his deal is he'll never make a movie over, I think it's like $5 million or something.
Okay.
You know, never more than that. So, like this week, Gem and the Holograms came out, and it was like, oh, it's a huge tank, boo, everyone hates, boo, nothing. But who gives a shit? Because then also, the next, you know, Paranormal Activity film came out, which, you know, cost nothing to make again, and it's going to make all the bubba-da-ba. And he just makes tons of these things.
Yeah.
So basically, you know.
But they're marketed to young people, and so that's the audience that they
right,
they
but you got to look at, like, a lot of times, you know, yes, John Carter is something they threw so much at that, you know, that one really did sting, and, you know, there was but when you deal with movies like probably Dredd, you know, you throw a whole bunch of movies out in a year. Some will make it, some won't.
The person who did Dredd is not a big studio. It's an individual.
Oh, okay.
Who's like a money man who he brings a bunch of production companies together to a project.
So he's hurting over this one.
So yeah, it's a sting.
Okay,
it stings him more than
it
stings him more than it would like Universal or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's like bringing in Studio Canal and this German company and someone from China and all these different companies are all investing into this project, you know. And so he's kind of, you know, acting. It probably takes
then
him a while.
I'm going to do the dick thing and say again, make a TV show of you. When you get the rights back, make a TV show. You'll be okay. Just bringing up Star Wars.
What a dick.
Here's the thing about Star Wars that I've had enough Star Wars. I'm done. I think
you're not going to go see The Force Awakens?
I will probably at some point. I'm not going to see it opening week.
I'm not
probably going to see it second week, third week, fourth week. I don't give a fuck. I really don't give a fuck about Star Wars at all.
Wow.
Like at all. Like, I'm kind of curious, again, they're talking about doing some TV shows and what have you in the future, and, you know, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
There's comics that are out right now that I actually do quite like, that take place between the first movie, as in Star Wars 4, and the fifth movie, you know, Empire Strikes Back. And they're really good. They're, you know, very, very good comics, and I'm enjoying those. But we're going back to the universe, and everyone's older, and things are worse. I don't like it. I don't want to. Like, it feels like, you know, with the Jedi film, we had a happy ending. How'd it work out? Great. Mm-hmm. Everyone's happy. We're all dancing. Things are good. The baddie got thrown down the hole. This happened. Everyone's cool. Things are good.
Yeah.
And how about if things were shitty then? Things were shitty afterwards.
It takes a long time for things to get shitty again, though. This film takes place. It doesn't immediately, like, it's not next day.
Well, when you talk to...
You don't have Luke and Leia and Han wake up the next morning on the teddy bear planet, and then everything's gone to crap, you know? It's just like... I believe that the actors have aged a bit.
I'm fine with aging people. That's fine. Good for you for aging. It's better than the alternative. I'm all for that. But what it feels like to me is like when people have done the kind of fan fiction-y follow-ups to this, it's always, well, throwing an old man down a lightning shaft, that doesn't solve your problems. You've still got the Empire still out there. You know, what are you going to do? Go up and tell them, hey, the Emperor is dead. Well, we quit. Guns down. Walk away. Take your planet back. Enjoy.
Yeah.
No, there's going to still be stuff and things are bad. And I don't care. I don't like that stuff. I don't like things are still shitty. It's like, no, it was a happy ending. That was the story. We got to a happy ending. Things worked out. Everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're done. Right? No. You know, I mean, they're probably, and I don't know what they're going to do, but they're probably going to make Luke bad. They're probably, and maybe redeem him and all that shit. And I don't want to see Luke bad. You know, fuck off. It's like, it's the flip of what everyone's doing now with every villain in everything, which is, you know, it's Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
But, you know, she used to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's Maleficent. But, you know, she used to be good. It's like everyone evil. Yeah. But, you know, they used to be really great. And here's the prequel to show that. And I was like, oh, fuck. Okay, and now we're doing a sequel. Hey, you know that person that was really good? Yeah? They're a real shithead. And they're real evil. And they're bad. And it's like, no, okay, fine. It seems like the...
You think that's what it's going to...
Yeah, I can't see how they're not going to do that.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see now.
Yeah.
See if your prediction is...
You got to have the I am your father style reveal, right?
Once again, you've gone way out on a limb here.
You don't think they're going to do like a big reveal? You don't think J.J. Abrams... You don't think Abrams is going to do a big twist-a-roo reveal? How is that not going to be the reveal?
I don't know. I just don't think it. I don't see it.
Unless you find out Han is actually a Chewbacca,
I think,
and it's like a werewolf situation, and under a certain thing, you turn into a Chewbacca. That'd be good if Han was a Chewbacca as well.
I think
it's just a shaved Chewbacca.
I think there'll be twists around the four main characters, but I don't think that we will see them any different than what they were as in the other films.
Then what do you do with Luke?
I don't think they're in the film that much, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's more of a passing of the torch kind of thing.
They're just going to stand around and go like, hey, good luck.
Good luck to you.
Okay, how about this? You got to kill somebody. Who are you going to kill? You got to kill one of them at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are you going to kill? Can't kill Leia. Can't do that.
Who are you going to
kill? Can't kill Han again.
Sure.
Right? Can't do that.
The answer's
obvious. Chewie's dead.
The answer's obvious.
Chewie's dead.
Who are you going to kill? Ghostbusters. That's always the answer.
No. Here's who you have to kill. And again, I don't want to see this because they're going to do it.
Okay.
Because you've got to do it.
All right.
Here's who you're going to kill.
Okay.
This is the one.
Darth Vader.
No, that's not who you're going to kill, Darth Vader. You can't bring him back. Here's who you're going to kill. R2-D2.
That would be good.
You're going to. You're going to have him. You're going to have him doing the slow head turn and the boop, 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 boop. What's that? Yes, we love you too. Boop, 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 boop.
Oh my goodness. Bloop. He's saying, Daisy,
yep.
Give me your answer true.
That's absolutely right.
Master Luke, he's singing.
And then you're going to have Chewbacca taking a deep breath, even though he doesn't breathe. And then everyone's going to be crying, and the whole theater's going to get, no, because he's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be, oh, R2. And that's going to be, and I want to see that. I don't want to see that. Look, everything's fine. Let it be fine. Do your own side stories.
I'm going to be going to see it. Unlike you.
What are you looking forward to in it?
Well, what you want and what you'll never get is...
Musical.
Exactly right. How do you solve a problem? Like, no, I want...
An Ewok.
You want to have that moment of what you had when you were in grade 5 and you saw the first film, which is you want a film to fill you with wonderment, which that movie so successfully did from the very first minute of it.
Okay.
It absolutely grabbed you and held you through the entire film.
Now, you saw that at what age?
Grade 5.
Grade 5. Okay. So, for you, what was like space adventure movie before then? What was your...
There was none.
Well, there you liked the idea of like a space adventure movie. When you saw that, you went, that's yeah. for me. Why yeah. Why do you like that? Because you like astronauts?
Because it's space adventure.
But you must have had some exposure to it, like watching Star why? Trek on TV. Well, there's something.
No Star, there was no Star Trek.
There was no Star Trek.
Not at that time.
It was on TV.
No.
Yes.
I mean, it was on in the late 60s, but I was too young for it.
They rerun.
No, I don't
yes,
think
Yes,
I
it reran in the 70s. There's no discussion about this. Of course, it reran
I
in the
70s. I never saw it.
Okay, but
I never
it did.
Saw it as a kid.
Well, if you went to your
and
TV and turned it on, it would have been on.
A kid watching a boring show like Star Trek, I probably wouldn't have even gone to see
All
Star
TV
Wars.
All TV was boring, though.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Name a non-boring show that wasn't Monty Python. Name a non-boring.
Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
That was fun.
Right.
Grade 5, I still liked it. My Saturday morning cartoons.
You're still learning to read.
Scooby-Doo. I enjoyed Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo is boring.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it is. It's incredibly boring.
Not at that age. You can't look back at it from now
no,
and
when
say
you're
it's boring.
Well, that's the
when
thing.
You were, when
you're
you were
saying Star Trek is boring. All TV shows back then were boring. What's a non-boring show?
No,
even $6 Million Man. Most of it, he's sitting around a coffee shop
that was
talking about what to do.
That was exciting.
And then eventually
show.
He'll run Ooh, slowly, and we
no,
went, that's the most
wrong.
Exciting thing
you're
I've
wrong.
Ever seen.
You're wrong at every way.
You got
way.
Bigfoot slowly walking
that
towards
film was
you,
amazing.
And that's the most exciting thing there is.
That show is amazing.
All 70 shows were boring.
Emergency. Also amazing.
Okay, that was not a boring show. That was pretty good. But there was a lot of yappity-boop-boop-boo in between where Johnny Gage is talking about having trouble with his ladies, you know, and
yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember that stuff. And, you know, I was watching it the other day while I was drawing, and you know, there's things like the long shots of the fire engines racing through Los Angeles, which to me now seems really dull. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, was super exciting.
Well,
because there was fire engines.
You look at it now and just go, there's nothing on these streets. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
It's empty, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, where I'm going with the Star Wars thing was, what you need then is something like, you were used to basically Scooby-Doo. Like, you're a Scooby-Doo kid, right?
Yeah.
So someone's going, here's Star Wars for
you.
Yeah,
you watched Happy Days on television.
That takes you up 5 notches, man. Yeah. That means it's crazy.
Exactly.
So how do you, now that you live in a world.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what you want from it.
Yeah, but I wonder how you can pull that off. You could, but how?
You could. I mean, epic scale, I guess. Something that makes you go, like, the George Lucas produced prequels had no sense of hugeness to them.
No, it made them more dense. That was the problem.
Yeah.
It filled every inch of the screen.
All the streets of Los Angeles were full of cars.
That's right. Well, it was just like too many little robots around, and they were all fighting clones, and they were all, it was just packed, and it wasn't scale. You're right.
Yeah.
It crammed everything in, so it just felt crowded and dense, and it's like, that's not exciting.
Yeah.
That's annoying. So it's like, you want that idea of, like, you know, in that first scene in Star Wars, where the ship's flying, and then the huge ship is flying, and you can't believe how big...
The Imperial Starship.
Right, you can't believe how big this ship is.
Yeah.
You're blown... It's still going!
Yeah.
It's ridiculous!
That's how you feel when you're little.
Right.
And you've never seen that before. There was... It's hard to explain to people now, of course, because, you know, I mean, I guess there was Silent Running, the Bruce Stern film, came out before that.
Right, where he grows space potatoes.
He grows space potatoes,
and
there's little
farmer,
robots.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I've watched it since then, and there's no way as a child I would have been interested in that film. Maybe I would have liked the little robots. But other than that, the film would have seemed really kind of confusing.
Wouldn't that seem like the best movie in the world if you were a farmer's kid? And you went and like, what's this movie about?
Wow.
It's about farming. That's my life.
It's a greenhouse in
space. Whoa! This is the best.
But wait, wouldn't Star Wars be the greatest thing ever? Because he's a farmer. He's a farm kid.
Yeah, though he doesn't do a lot of farming. You never see him actually.
I know, but does a farm kid
want
to watch some farming?
That farm kid's going to really enjoy The Martian, though, because he does a lot of farming, apparently.
Have you seen it?
No, but I've heard he does
You've
a lot
heard
of
a lot
farming.
Of, there's a lot of farming.
Yeah.
That's the big rumor going around about that film. What do you think of The Martian? A lot of farming.
Yeah.
Whew.
You learn how to grow potatoes.
Did you see him tilling the soil? Amazing. Amazing tilling.
So scale. That's the thing. Like,
that's what you want. Well, you want wonderment. And part of that is the sense of, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
Which, you're right, is hard to get to now, because you're correct. I mean, what we had in the 70s, which wasn't terrible. I was watching a little bit of Escape from Witch Mountain last night. So it was on TCM. Mm-hmm. They're showing a bunch of Disney films. And
sorry, Dave. Witch Mountain?
Witch Mountain.
Yeah. I'm asking you. Witch Mountain?
Yeah. Who's on first?
Okay.
Mountain. You know that movie, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's some special effects. I'll put those in quotation marks in that film.
Sure.
Of, you know, it's mostly, I mean, what I saw the film was mostly someone like off camera pushing a book across the floor and the
sure.
camera catching it. Oh, look at that. It moved by itself.
Yeah.
And so it just, you know, and then you go from that Which, you know, when I was a kid and I saw that, I enjoyed it, you know. But then you go to Star Wars, and here's this person who's, you know, not only made this great adventure film, but he's filled it with this amazing imagination. Not just his, but everyone who worked on the film. You know, all these radically amazing special effects and things that you've never seen before. You've seen bits of them, you know, but... You know, once again, what kid wants to watch 2001?
Right. So you got your special effects, but you also have, you know, he's using like old Japanese movies. He's using westerns.
He says that. I don't.
Okay. You don't see that? When you're going into the cantina.
I've watched The Hidden Fortress. I don't know.
Well, you're going into the cantina and, you know, everything's looking through. I mean, admittedly, you got a bunch of aliens around, but it's, you know, I don't like you. Well, I'm going to cut off your arm. Well, I mean, that's just samurai shit, right?
No, samurais don't fight like that.
Don't cut off an arm?
No.
With a sword?
No, they don't.
Look,
seen the films that he says that he... Have you seen The Hidden Fortress?
I have not seen Hidden Fortress,
That's the film he says he based it on, or he was your inspiration from. Then you watch it, you're like, I don't know. There's two bumbling thieves. Okay. Are they robots?
You tell me. You got a kid who wants to be something, right?
Yeah.
And a guy, an old guy, who seems weak, not strong.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's strong. He's stronger than he thinks. Oh, and saying you pull that with Yoda later too. What, that weak guy is also super strong. And what's he use? He uses a sword. Everyone else uses a gun. This guy uses a sword. He's got a sword, and this was your father's sword. That seems really Japanese. What else is that culturally?
I just because you're right, but
thank you.
But in the sense
and that was all for Sneaky Dragon today.
What you're saying doesn't exist in the films that he's referring to. Like, I don't, you know, like, if you watch...
Okay, maybe it doesn't exist in the films, it feels like, culturally, it's something that we wouldn't see in other American movies. The idea of, like, this was your father's sword. He died and was murdered, and you should avenge him.
But you could have, like, that a knight's story, like, a knight's father passing down his sword. You know, that's like, it's not like we don't have swords in our culture.
You could, but the idea of...
Here's a samurai fight in a movie.
Go ahead.
Can I tell you a samurai fight in a movie?
Hit me.
Okay, two guys standing about 30 yards apart. They go racing towards each other. Both of them swing their swords.
Yep.
They race past each other.
Yep.
One of them falls down and dies.
Okay.
And you go, what happened? They look like they both hit each other, but one of them died. I don't understand. Like, what did I miss? But you can't tell.
Right.
What happened? Because they just go running past each other.
Okay, but here's
there's no arms cut off.
Here's the
it's
problem.
It's not like the Black Knight in the Holy Grail.
Right. Here's the problem with what you're saying, though. Is you're going like, he watched these things, and the thing that he made isn't like these things. So it's not like, but no. I know you don't. Yeah. And that's fine. But here's the problem. It's like, and not the problem, but
is the problem, Ian?
I'm going to tell you. This is the thing. And I'm saying this is the thing way too much. it's someone who sees something, gets something from it, makes something with that, goes, I was influenced by that thing. You go, it's nothing like that fucking thing. But
it is because it was influenced by that thing. Well, there's a princess in The Hidden Fortress as well.
Fair enough. But he was influenced by that thing, and he grabbed something out of it, and he used it. And in a way that you would, if he said, this is completely original, you would go, yes, it is. But he's not telling you that. He's telling you the truth. I was influenced by this, even though it doesn't look like that. That's what art is. You steal, and then if you steal badly sometimes, or you don't even understand the thing you're stealing, and you interpret it wrong, you've still created something new, and everyone goes, that new thing is great. But yet it was, you know, he's telling you, this was based on this, even though I did it in a way that you don't see the connection to. It still was.
You watch those films, then you tell me.
No, I don't need to, because he's told me that it was influenced, so there's no reason for him
I just think, it's not that he made it up. I think he's just misremembering what his influences were.
There's things that I've
made. He was pumping up his influences.
Yeah, there's things that I've done, and I've made the mistake of telling people that they influenced me, right? Big mistake. Fucking huge mistake. Because the follow-up question then is, how did I influence you? Oh, I was like, well, I was inspired by... But I can see that in my work, you would not see how it was connected to your work.
Sure.
But it clearly was. And me, I can see how I ripped off, you know, someone. I'm not going to say their name again. I've mentioned them on the show before. But I ripped them off blatantly, but in a way that they would not ever see it.
Yeah.
So they just got annoyed by this whole situation, and it was a weird conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Because through my skill set, I have to make it like this to fix my own flaws.
I'll be annoyed on Kurosawa's behalf. I'm annoyed for him.
Sure. All right.
I'll be his proxy in the annoyance.
You know what I think Kurosawa would be happy with is people seeing Kurosawa movies because they heard,
If you like Star Wars. That's why I watched The Hidden Fortress, because I heard that...
So don't be annoyed, Kurosawa.
It was a good movie. I like all his films. I really like, there's a good movie, I think it's called Stray Dog, which is, it's an interesting film because the milieu is interesting. It's in, takes place in Japan, obviously, but during the occupation by the Americans after World War II. Mm-hmm. And Toshiro Mifune, is that his name?
That sounds right.
Anyway, Mifune, he loses his gun. He's a policeman. He loses his gun.
Okay.
And so basically the film is this him trying to track down his gun because, you know, losing your gun is loss of face, right?
Yep.
It's an interesting film. It's quite good. I recommend it. Another good film by him, Redbeard, about a doctor.
Okay.
It's an interesting film. Yeah. Those are more contemporary. They're not like the...
Ran.
In the, yeah, not like in the past or, you know, like the samurai films.
And Ran was that King Lear?
I think it's Macbeth.
Macbeth. All right.
Fair enough. No. I think you're right. I think it is King Lear because Macbeth was something of blood, Throne of Blood or something like that, which was, yeah, his version of Macbeth.
And then he told Shakespeare, I based this on King Lear, and Shakespeare went, I don't see it.
I don't see it.
I don't see it at all. What are you talking about?
Forsooth.
Yeah. Though that Star Wars, that shit's ripping me off.
Curmudgeonly bag of worms.
That the prequels were Much Ado About Nothing. There you are. Ta-da!
See, we brought it all around.
We did bring it all around. Hooray for us. Have you got anyone sending you CDs yet?
No, that's the great thing about that offer, is I really don't think anyone's going to bother.
Well, here's what I was told yesterday. I had a fella come to me at the show, and he said to me, is Dave really going to like give people mixtapes if they send them CDs? And I said, yeah, no, he really will.
Yeah.
And, like,
and only at my...
Oh, wait, let me just finish the story. Sure. And then he went, where do you get a CD?
Oh, that's
that was the follow up, and then we realized London Drugs would have some.
London Drugs.
Go to your computer section.
Go to your dollar store. I believe they have them at dollar stores.
Blank CDs.
Blank CDs. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so that offer is still going on.
Yeah, it's a great offer because I'll never see them. It's one of those offers you can make.
Don't believe that people will.
No.
All right,
no.
Dave's calling you all liars out there.
I'm not calling you liars. I'm just saying that it's a lot of trouble to go to.
To what? Put a CD in a mail and get a free CD back?
Yeah. But let me just say, if you do send me a CD, it's completely individually chosen for you. I will not be mass producing a mixed CD. Everyone will get a different CD. And anyone in the world can send it to me and I will send it back to you.
This is ridiculous.
Not just in Canada. Not just from the U.S.
Right.
Anywhere. And I will send it back to you.
One per customer.
You can send two CDs. I don't care. You can send three
CDs.
Two
per customer.
You can send three. I don't care.
Stop it. Settle down. Settle
I really don't care.
Down.
It's fun to do.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I've been thinking about it a lot lately while I've been driving. Uh-huh. I've been putting together mixes in my mind.
Okay. So if you want this, go to sneakydragon.com. Dave has put his address, mailing address up
there. We were kind of cagey last time. I decided to put my home address because I really don't think anyone's going to send me anything.
Right. And, you know, what are you going to do? don't go visit Dave is what we're saying. That'll go to your post box, the big box of everyone.
It'll go to the super box.
Super box. You will go to your super box. You will take it out. You will then give them a CD. By the way, that super box thing.
They'll send me the CD. I will send them back a CD that has stuff on it.
On a side note, on the idea of the postal system, they're not going to be doing those boxes for everybody now.
Good.
Yeah. Dave said no. And so those of us that get the door to door are like, hooray. Mm-hmm. And then quite a few people on the news are now like, you sons of bitches. Cause got rid of ours.
Yeah.
And just a little while ago. Are you going to give us the thing back?
Nope.
Nope. No take backs, says the government on that.
It's too bad because, there's a post office that I go to quite often in downtown Langley.
Right.
And it's kind of the central post office. It's where all the trucks go to pick up the mail or to exchange mail and do everything. It's the center of the operation.
Mail parties in the back.
That's right. They have male parties and female parties, everyone. I don't want to be, but what's interesting there is when I go to mail something, it's me mailing something and seven other people who are there to pick up their mail because the box was broken into.
Yeah.
And it's just a constant problem.
Yeah.
And I, you know, they did replace the box in our neighborhood. They put in ultra super boxes. That's what they call them, I think.
Okay.
Super deluxe boxes.
Right. And what's the difference?
Is
there a dog outside?
The difference is there's no difference. It's still easy to break into. The same locks and everything. So anyone with a screwdriver and a hammer can take your mail if they feel like it.
Now, here's my question on that. Like, is there cameras or anything in the area?
Nope.
Okay. Now, that's stupid. Because cameras are cheap nowadays.
Mm.
Cheap.
Yeah.
They're cheap. They're so cheap. They're in every store.
Are they cheaper than throwing a bunch of stuff in a box and not caring about it?
Look, no. if you're saving all this money on having people deliver the mail door to door, get a fucking webcam, put it up on a stick, and aim it at the boxes so we can see who's stealing the mail.
Yeah.
There.
I know.
Nowadays, I like that, easy peasy.
I like that you think they care.
It's not care.
It's very touching.
No. Because they're going to have people. Yeah. Okay. Listen. Eventually, people go, "Err, I'm angry." You know, and you need to do something to shut the people up. Yes. And how you shut the people up is go like, "We got a camera. We got a camera there. Okay. We see the guy. Yeah. Here's the guy. Do you know who it is?" And then in your small town, you go, "Oh, that's Charlie." You go get Charlie and go, "Where's our mail, Charlie?" And goes, "I'm sorry, I stole your chocolates." And then Charlie gives you
it's a. I think the usual people breaking in are a pretty much a non-resident.
Okay. It just really feels like we're in such a camera culture at this point that throwing one more camera at something that's a public thing like that would make sense.
Makes sense.
And it's cheap.
I just don't see.
It's cheap. It's cheaper than having to like deal with all these people who are angry all the time, isn't it?
I guess so.
Like, okay.
They're not angry. That's the thing. Everyone's just, they're frustrated, I guess, they're just like, once again, broken into.
Right.
Here to pick up my mail.
I guess, here's the thing. I feel,
what is that attitude? What is that attitude?
On a side note.
Did you say, here's the thing again?
I did. I'm so sorry.
Okay, everybody. When Ian says, here's the thing, you have to eat an entire pie.
You have to eat an entire pie and then listen to an episode of Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin.
Is that such a thing?
Yeah, there's a podcast called Here's the Thing with Alec. That's quite good. Okay. Now.
So you've been advertising it all this time.
Yep.
And I'm not getting
some of that Alec Baldwin money. I don't get anything from thin Alec Baldwin. I only get something from the big version.
What a nice thing to say.
No, you know, like fat cash.
You don't get anything from the Miami Blues Alec Baldwin, but you get something from the...
I like that you're doing the same mime that I did, even though there was no point to it. No, this is... And I can't tell details of this story, but I had a friend contact me today, and a local company... that he works for was doing something that is kind of unethical, right? Mm-hmm. And so he contacted the boss and went, "I don't think this is the greatest thing and it makes us look bad." And the boss went, "Well, you know," he sent a memo out to everyone saying, "You know, I hope no one's going to like be basically ratting us out about this kind of thing. And, you know, let's all just band together. And, you know, it's good for the company and it's good." And he's like, "Oh, this makes me sad that this is the case." And I've worked for this company as well. And I was saying to him, no, this guy always does the easiest thing. It's not an ethical situation. He doesn't do things based on ethics. He does things based on ease. Yeah. If you want something to happen, you've got to show them this is the easy way for you. You know, so if you'll do the right thing, this means 10 people won't be knocking on your door this week. No one will be knocking on your door because you took care of this problem with this small little thing, which was easy. And that's easier for you. So that's the ticket. And I think with the postal thing, that's how you do it as well. You don't go, "This is the right thing to do," or "People are suffering," or any of that bullshit. You've just got to go, "Are you annoyed by the people who are annoyed? Well, we can stop those annoying people from annoying you if we just put a camera up, which is on every one of your fucking computers." I'm swearing a lot in this episode.
Fuck yeah.
You know, cameras are cheap. So slap up a camera and solve your problem.
One camera is cheap, but... thousands upon thousands of cameras for all the boxes. I mean, there's a lot of boxes out there, I assume.
Right. And the reason that you have those boxes is because you're saving money because you're not paying a postal worker to deliver things door to door. So it's always going to be cheaper for you to do that than is the money you're saving on this. You throw a little towards that, and then
you save even more by not doing it.
No, because you got the eventually people are going to sue when they lose enough of their stuff. They're going to have a class action suit, and this all shit will meet fan.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm so certain.
If you had your
box, Dave.
How many times did you have your box broken into?
Our box, I think 2 times.
How many times would it take for you to get mad?
I don't know.
Easy going.
I am very easy going.
That's
a part of my personality. I am a very easy going person.
Steal from me.
I don't
Here's
say steal
my
from me.
Home address.
It does not make me happy.
Come on by.
It does not make me happy to be stolen from, but. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it just seems like it's, you know, I guess you're right. If they put a camera up, I guess a person who decided to not wear a hoodie, would be easily recognized and could, be arrested.
How much is a camera? $100? $100.
$100.
For a standard, like, kind of web camera that you could then, anyone
know.
Could watch.
I don't really
watch.
Know how web cameras work.
Anyone could watch from their home. Like, you could. Like, that's not...
I don't think you could do that.
Why?
I don't think that
I can do that on my phone.
Would
that
be illegal?
What do you mean?
To put a camera up and watch people? Is that okay? I guess it's okay
at a public post office box. I can do that. Like if I took my phone out and we went on Periscope right now, we could do a live broadcast around the world of this. So I can't see how. And that's with just my stupid phone. What? Because I didn't comb my hair. So never like I can't see why you couldn't do that for that. You know?
I don't want to argue about it because it's whatever.
Because I'm winning again. I've won every argument so far, haven't I?
You're winning by being louder, but I don't think that's being...
Is this louder?
It was louder. You got loud. You got loud and proud.
You know, look, you control the volume. You're the producer of this show.
I'm going to turn you down later.
You cut my mic. If I'm louder, that's your call.
No, that's why you're louder, because your mic is turned off.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
There we go. That's good producing.
I have good news, which is I got a job.
Yay!
Yeah, it's nice. I'm getting money again.
Yay!
That isn't from the government. I guess
I
was getting money
before.
Did you
end up getting EI?
Yes, I did eventually.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah. I didn't get as much as I wanted, but I got some money.
All right. So are you allowed to say what the job is, or do you want to not mention it in because people will then visit you at work and you'll lose your job?
Oh, they can't visit me. I mean, I guess they could, but why would they want to? But
do you work on top of a pole? It's hard to reach?
What I've been hired to do is sit in a chair and look at a mailbox in my neighborhood.
That's right. It's in Dave's new documentary, I Am a Camera. He's pretended to be a webcam.
That's right. Rain or shine, I'm just sitting there. It's you know, it's a long job, and then another guy comes later on. Sheepdog comes. We punch in and out together.
That would be funny if you did have the same job as a sheepdog.
Morning, Bill. I'm working for a company that makes garage doors. I'm not going to say the name of the company, because then you can't visit me, but
okay.
It's the biggest place I've ever worked for, actually. All my other jobs have been very small companies.
So it's kind of an open and shut job?
Yes.
Okay.
And, boy. And then it's just different because my other jobs were, it was, you know, my one job is basically just me. That was the place, right?
Right.
And the other place, it was
the one job was you. And then sort of like in a video game where you get more powers as you go longer in the
that's
game,
right, that's
you
right.
got more responsibility and your jobs increased.
Yeah.
And yet the amount you got paid did not.
That
so
was
that amount
the
in the corner
the
stayed
game.
The same.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's right. Exactly the same. It's just like more work.
Yeah.
As other characters died off and like left.
Yeah.
Right.
So
until it ended with the most dangerous level of all, where you're loading couches into things, standing on top of tight ropes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yes. You're risking your life in a horrible boss level and the end of the job.
That was kind of fun. That was fun.
Is it?
So this place,
yep.
You know, like it's a warehouse, but it's really big. Like it's a really big place. Like it's like a warehouse. And then you go through a door and down a ramp, and then you have like a big loading area. And then across from that, there's a different loading area that's just full of a bunch of stuff that we have to put in places. Mm-hmm. And then there's 8 of us working in the warehouse.
Okay.
So that's quite a few people. Like I've never worked with a bunch of people before doing similar jobs.
Now, is the warehouse close to where you live?
Yeah, it's quite close. It's about a 25 to 35 minute drive, depending on the traffic.
Is that the closest job you've had?
No, my other jobs were about 25 minutes away.
Okay,
before,
all right.
Yeah. So,
but it's a reasonable distance. It's not.
It's a very reasonable distance. Yeah. So this morning, I left home like pretty good. I was like the first day I went, I wasn't too sure. I meant to leave at 10 after 7.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up leaving at 20 after 7, and then I got there at 5 to 8, which I felt was a little pushing it. So the next day, I meant to leave early again. I left at the exact same time and got there at the exact same time. So I was like, okay, got to leave a little earlier. Then
next day, exact same time.
No, I left 10 minutes earlier the next day, but I had to drop Mary off at the bus. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to be late again. But actually, the traffic was so good, it went really fast. I got to work 10 minutes early. So I was happy with that. And
now, you're saying that you were late, but you're saying you got there 5 minutes before you had to work.
Yeah, now, I just mean, to me, you should get to work 10 minutes
but
before.
But you were not late.
I wasn't.
You were Dave late.
I was Dave late. That's
okay,
right.
All right.
And then this morning, I drive over the overpass where I get onto the freeway near my house. And the whole freeway is just a parking lot in both directions. Both directions on the same freeway. So if I look over the overpass, I look east cars, I look west cars. I thought, no way. So I just went and kind of.
You got out of the car. You ran on top of the roofs of the other cars.
Well, they have in Ontario. They often call it rat drifting, which is when people will cut through neighborhoods to try and get around the congestion.
Okay.
So that's what I did. I ended up cutting through...
Doing a rat drift.
...the rural areas of Langley. And actually, I got to work right at the exact same time I got there before. So it's a good... and I got stopped by a train, a big, long coal train. So he was playing a saxophone.
Uh-huh. Very good. Nice.
And so I just had to stop. Uh-huh. Like, giant steps! So I was parked and listened to that for a while. And then I carried on for work. And yeah, and then I got there at the same time. So that's an option. I don't want to do it all the time because I feel guilty driving through places where I feel like, you know, you're a jerk zipping through rural areas. You
right.
Know? People want to live there because it's quiet. Not so people drive by in their cars all the time.
Right.
So.
And the other thing we're not mentioning is Dave drives an ice cream truck.
Now he's playing the entertainer wherever I go.
Yeah. And then kids are coming out, but you never stop for them because you're like, can't stop, late for work. It's like, isn't this your job? So long, kids.
Mr. Popsicle. See
you tomorrow. Same time. Still won't stop.
So, yeah.
The worst guy in
the
world. The
worst guy in the world. Why would I stop?
That'd be a great job for someone who hates kids. An ice cream truck that never stops. Oh, that you just stop and you just go all out. All out of ice cream. That would be great. So yeah. Mean.
This I'll have to say ice cream truck and then tell everyone, no, actually, this is my last name, ice cream. So this is my truck. Doesn't mean I sell ice cream, guys.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Well, why are you playing the entertainer? I wrote it. I wrote that song.
It was a rags to riches story.
Yeah. I'm making all that money off the Sting. Huge. Huge bucks. Yeah, that's how I was able to afford this sweet-ass ride.
And so I'm doing things I've never done before, like banding. I've never put like strapping on stuff, so I've been doing that a lot.
Okay.
That seems to be the job for unskilled people in the warehouse, which is what I am. I don't know anything about garage doors. So.
Right.
And they come in.
So you're a bandy man.
They come in. The doors don't come as like a big door. They come in parts or pieces.
Okay.
And then you put them together, and then you put all the hardware into the package or into the order, and then either they're just kind of left down in the staging area for people, local people to come and pick up in their vans and stuff like that.
Right.
And then the installers put it together. So we just put together the package they need. And then the installers, you know, they pick up the stuff or companies outside of the Lower Mainland, they're shipped to them. So it's an interesting job. And what's nice about it is I get 50 minutes for coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I get a 50 minute break. Mm-hmm. Then I get a half hour for lunch.
Yeah.
And then I get another 50 minute break. I've never had a job where you are required to stop.
Ha.
You know, and because no one tells me to stop, I just keep working. You know, and
I've had the 15-minute break.
Yeah,
but we never got it because it was at the video store, 24 Video, and we're supposed to have 15-minute break, 15-minute break, half hour for lunch.
Yep.
And if you got 15 minutes for lunch,
yeah,
you're lucky because it was always like, but only take it if we're not busy.
Okay.
And they're always busy.
Yeah.
So and not even just busy, but like if there's nothing, basically if everything in the store is completely done, then take your 15-minute break. Obviously there was always something to be done, so.
Apparently that's illegal.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
That place was busy 24 hours a day.
I can't even think, oh geez, I'm trying to even think of a business that would care about legal or illegal. Like any of the retail jobs I've worked at.
This place seems to.
Maybe the movie theater. The movie theater I think did sort of, but even that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you would get you would have your break, but then your break would be interrupted by someone puked, and then you can't leave the puke.
No.
So you go, you clean up the puke, and you come back, and like, time for my break. No, break's over. I was like, well, my break was spent cleaning puke. Okay, and there was always something like that. Yeah,
yeah. I know this place is very, very rigorous. It says, you know, 10 after 10, then that means that you have to be back in 50 minutes from that time. So.
Right.
So it's nice. And then they insist that you put down your tools. Like, everyone stop. So everyone has to stop and go and...
Wow.
And sit.
So what do you do for your 15-minute break? Read?
Just go sit in, go sit in the lunchroom and talk. And most people have like snack food or whatever. And then I read for a little bit.
Right. Do you have a snack?
I don't really. No, I haven't been that organized yet. I have lunch and I bring two. I bring two pieces of fruit. So I have something to eat for my second break. But at the first break, I don't seem to.
So you eat two pieces of fruit on your second break?
Yeah. No, just one piece of fruit. I have a piece of fruit with my lunch.
Oh, okay.
And then I save my orange for later.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, like, Johnny Two Fruits for the
second
break.
Yeah, I got an apple, and then I got the apple I have with my sandwich.
And then you ask, like, which one do you like better? And you go, I can't compare.
No. I thought they're apple, yeah. There's an orange and an apple. There's no pears. So it's nice, though. It's nice just to sit. And then everyone's, like I say, there's eight of us, so it's a pretty full complement of guys. They're all guys. It's a very physical job. Very physical. Extremely physical. I'm working harder than I've worked in a long time.
Right.
Actually.
So when you come home, what do you do to relax? Just like sit down?
Yeah, lay down.
Okay. Now, are you still going to the gym every day after?
I haven't. I've been trying to think of how I'm going to fit this into my my life schedule now, because the job is 8 till 5.
Right.
And what's nice about that is we get Fridays are a short day, so we get off at 2:30. Because we work an extra half hour the other 4 days.
Okay.
So, and then it gets taken off on the Friday. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that idea.
No, that is nice.
But like I say, it's a very physical job. You're carrying big, heavy doors around and you're loading these big, garage doors, whatever, onto tops of trucks.
Would you think this would take the place of somebody who's, you're working out at the gym? I mean, just for time-wise.
Well, you'd think that. But I find that what's the weird thing about the human body is that when you do a hard physical job, at first your body's like, what the hell? And you lose a little bit of weight or you put on a little muscle, but then right. It just normalizes because it's used, it finds its plateau and it just kind of sits there then.
Right.
It doesn't, because you get conditioned enough that you can do that job and then that's it. You don't go any farther forward with it So I'm sure it'll last like this week. Probably my body's like, what
but
the
I,
hell?
I get that you're going like not farther forward with the way you are.
Yeah.
But if you're the kind of guy who's like every day is lifting heavy things repeatedly, then the amount that you stay and plateau at, it's pretty good, right? Like that's a pretty good level of fitness,
it's not
right?
Organized. I don't think it's organized enough. Like I can't speak for sure about it, but I think.
Okay. How about the other guys that are there? Are they fit?
Well, they're not heavy or anything. They're all young guys too, of course.
Right.
So. But yeah, most of them are in good shape. But it's a job that requires it, right? Like you can't, you'd really, like, you have to be a fit. And yeah, I think they've had women work there, but they just couldn't do it after a while. It really wears you down. And I can see why. Like you're bent over a lot and you're carrying heavy things and you're pushing these big things around. And then you have to they're like 700 pound, packages of, dunnage wraps of these big.
How many people
doors.
Are carrying that together?
One.
You're carrying 700 pounds.
Well, you just roll it. It's
only, okay, I'm going like
you have rolling stance.
Dave,
but the hard part
you're
is
you're a very strong man, but I don't think you can lift 700 pounds.
But the hard part though is when you roll it outside, you have to roll it down a ramp. So it's by yourself. You're trying to control this 700 pound long thing that's going down a ramp. I mean, there's a trick to it. I figured it out pretty fast.
Someone told you the trick, right?
No.
Just figure that out on yourself.
Yeah.
This sounds like a real shake hands with danger situation, but okay.
Well, I mean, other guys did it, so I'm like, I can do this. Come on.
Sure.
The first time I did it though, it didn't go very well. Like the whole thing started going sideways down the ramp and I was like, ay, ay, ay. And then next time I was like, okay, I figured, you have to kind of like micro adjust as you go down.
Yeah.
Because if you let it start to swing, then you're done for. But if you control it before it starts to get out of hand, then you're okay.
Okay. Here's what my advice to you then is.
Because
eventually there's going to be a new guy that is going to go, hey, Dave.
Yeah.
And it'll be the new guy. Tell the new guy that.
Yeah.
Don't have new guy figure that out on his own.
I like to just go my own way. So.
Sure. That's fine. But help others as
I want to pitch in. That's my job.
Now, does this mean you're going to be getting yourself maybe a nice new garage door for the old house?
I don't want a garage door for our house.
Oh, do you not have a garage?
No, we just have an open carport.
La-di-da.
Well, what I like about that
Mr. Trusty.
Well, yeah, we paid for it with bikes. But what I like about having a carport is that you can still park a car in it. Because I think if we actually enclosed our carport and made it a garage, it would just become full of stuff. And we couldn't actually park our cars.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, I can see that.
Yeah. So this is a good incentive to not pack more
stuff
into that. It already has a lot of stuff in it, but we can still park the cars in it.
Also build yourself like a new office out of just garage doors.
Yeah.
Just, get a couple of those. What is that, like 5 of them? That's all you need. If you want a floor.
I can't think of how the tracking would work, but okay. You have to have a really tall ceiling because they couldn't roll into each other, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So you'd have to have a big tall ceiling so they all went straight up.
Well, congratulations on the new job.
Thank you.
Glad to hear that. That's
Thank you.
Great.
They seem to like me.
Remember, lift with your back, not your legs. Wait, no, I don't know how that works. Lift with whatever bits
Lift you with
need.
Your head.
That's right, not your heart.
I always use your head for lifting. Yeah,
I get what you mean. So, over the course of the next while, depending on, how comfortable you feel talking about it, we'll have Dave's adorable stories about working in the door factory.
So it's been great so far. Like, everyone's really nice. Like, all the guys are nice, and which is good. I like it. You're not working. It'd be terrible to go to a place and there's like one terrible grumpy guy or whatever. But I think I'm replacing the grumpy guy. I think the grumpy guy, because apparently the guy just left without warning the week before I was hired. So that's basically why I was hired. They needed someone very quickly.
Trickiest thing is you got to find the door out.
Mm.
It's like, I'm leaving. All right. Wait,
this
no, that one's
demo.
No, that's a demo.
A demo.
All right, suckers, I'm gone. Oh, damn it. Wait a minute.
This is the closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eventually goes. I'm picturing you guys like have like a storm door factory next door that are big rivals, and you're going, or no, it'd be better if it was just carports, open carports next door, and they hate the garage door people.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, you like it all enclosed, do you? You know, woo, live it little. And like, but I have one of those. I'm one of you. It's like, betrayer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big place. There's no one, we're one building, so there's no other building connected to us. Or
oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, it's a big place. I've never worked at such a big place. They have three forklifts.
Do they have snack machines?
They don't have snack machines.
What the fuck?
We have two fridges.
Yeah, but
two microwaves.
Bring your own.
A toaster oven. Okay. A toaster. A kettle. Yeah. Two coffee makers.
One mug.
One mug. No, lots of mugs. And a dishwasher, too.
Everyone shares it.
A dishwasher.
What are you, Mr. Fancy doesn't like to share a mug?
It's great. It's funny, though. The office people have one fridge.
Yeah.
And the warehouse guys have another fridge. Like, we're like two different Denver the
Twain. Do you have a male and female washroom?
Yes.
So you could just use the female one because no women work there.
Oh, no, there's women who work in the office. Because I'm talking about the warehouse guys.
Okay.
There's eight warehouse guys. There's one warehouse manager.
Right.
Then there's at least five people who work in the office. Two women and three guys.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a pretty, it's a big place. Like, okay. I'm just, like I say, three forklifts. All of them fancy. Like the one I used to work on.
Fancy forklifts.
When I was at Sunburst, the forklift we had there.
Was you.
Was me. It was this really old one, and to change it to reverse or forward, you had to press on the gas pedal a certain way, and that would change the gear to go forward or backwards. You know, once you got used to it, it was easy, but if you weren't, it took a little while. You kind of, okay, I'll go backwards now, or go forward. Oh, damn it. You know, but after, you know, once you got used to it, it was okay. But these ones are all controlled by a shift that goes forward, neutral, reverse, and then it has three different controllers for the forks, so they can go up and down. They can go, you know, the forks can tilt up or down, and then it can go side to side.
Nice.
It's just amazing. Like with the old one at the other place, with Sunburst, I had to be like, you know, right on the money. I couldn't kind of approach it and be near and then go, okay, I'll just, and just move it over sideways. No, I had to be.
So directly. Sunburst is completely gone now, right?
It is long
so
gone.
So it's you can't just drive by with a new fancy forklift and go, hey, chumps.
Yeah, I'm going to
just like wave it in their faces and just be, how you doing?
I can't even imagine how long that drive would be in a forklift.
Okay,
here's hours.
Well, here's what you do. You got to put the forklift in a truck.
You
drive the truck.
Sure.
Now, what you could do is your last job, whoever like let you go, get out there with the forklift, lift their car up, move it somewhere.
Would it be wrong for me to talk a little bit about that job and say something that's happening there that's legal proceedings? Do you think that would be wrong?
I was sort of spilling some beans earlier on something else, so go ahead. Yeah.
I ran into someone I work with at this company. Okay. I'm not going to say the name now. You have to go back and find it yourself, people.
Okay.
I ran into her at Safeway because she also lives in Aldergrove.
All right. Are we allowed to say Safeway?
I believe we are.
Okay.
It's safe. And, you know, I said, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, well, how's everything at work? Because I wanted to know. And
she, what's the deal?
She goes, oh, I have a harassment suit against the big guy.
Oh.
The guy who fired me. I'm like, ooh, interesting. She goes, yeah, it's been terrible. Because I'm almost at the door. I've got resumes out looking for a new job.
Yikes.
So they really want me to stay. But so this is crazy there. And the problem is, because they've, you know, because the company, the head office, has done such a terrible job managing from a distance the branch, they can't get rid of the guy because he's the only person there that can do that job that they have. Because they let the person who hired me, the original branch manager, I didn't know this, but she told me when we were talking, she put in her resignation, and they said, you sure you want to, you know, because we really want you to stay at it. I tried to convince her. Then they said, you know, think about it, come back to us. And so she thought about it. Then she said, you know what, maybe I'm making a jumping before I look kind of a situation. So she came back to them and said, you know what, maybe I will just stay. And they went, no, actually, we decided to accept your resignation. So, yeah. So that's what happened, right?
Oh.
So they, in every way, they screwed up that branch. Because when I got there, it was like the smoothest running machine I ever walked into.
Yep.
Compared to where I was before, which was just me. This place worked really well.
And a broken forklift.
Yeah. It wasn't broken. It just was old. And as soon as I got there, everything started to change, and they just slowly, the whole place just unwound in front of my eyes. And so it was interesting to talk to this lady and, harassment suit.
Yeah.
If you need a witness.
No, that's good.
I was there.
Right. I'm glad that you're,
I'm glad I'm out of there.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I really like this place. So we'll check in a couple of weeks and see how I feel.
Okay.
See how my back feels.
So you're saying that if anyone writes you, you will send them a free garage door.
No, that's not what I said.
I think you did.
I didn't.
Yep. See, I think you. I think you said you were going to send a free garage. If you listen back to the show, you're going to mail them Ian anywhere said, in the world.
Anywhere in the
you
world.
You said a free garage door
with a list of songs written on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That you could then play as you're in your garage band.
Yeah.
You will play those songs. Yeah. You want your set list on the inside of your garage door, so when you shut it, you're like, oh, that's our set list.
There's our set.
Then you really get to practice and get it going on.
That's right.
You're contributing to garage bands of the future by helping them with these garage doors. Because how are you going to do it? You're
it's
not going to be able
pleasure.
To play in there without the garage door down.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the cops are going
to
come.
I also promise to send them all express airmail.
Oh, the garage doors?
The garage doors, yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
But straight, slow snail mail for the
CDs.
For the music CD.
Yes, come on, guys. What do you expect from me?
We're getting kind of to the end of our show.
But by the way, I seriously don't expect to get any CD sent to me.
Why?
For that reason that you just said as well. I didn't think about that.
It's ridiculous.
No one knows where to get them either.
They do. Nah. Look, guys, here's the thing. Dave is right. Your dollar store, your local convenience store, they've all got these CDs kicking around.
Yes, they do.
You know who else has those CDs kicking around? You. You do in your home. You got them. Clear them. Go. Take them. Strip them. And then send them to Dave, and he'll give them to you. But yeah, you go to any drugstore, computer department, they'll sell you a million of them for nothing.
That's the thing. You don't want a million, but okay.
And then, the rest of them, you make them into, here's what you do with them. One, Christmas decorations.
Okay.
Lovely. They spin.
Sure.
Here's the other thing you do, and we have done this. This actually does work.
Okay.
Draw owl eyes on one side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you hang them, and it keeps away,
starlings.
It keeps away starlings. That's right. So, it'll keep them away from whatever you want. They'll go, it's an owl. Or it'll go like, oh, it's a CD. It's like an AOL CD. I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want an AOL startup CD. And that's what starlings hate. They hate old internet technology. And they'll keep away.
Yeah, that's true enough.
This guy's an old nerd. His work's out. His computers are out of date.
He's making AOL jokes. He is an old nerd.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then some of that.
Is it around still, AOL?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Just I think is the email. I don't think they have like all the other AOL stuff. But I'm sure America Online is
still,
going on.
Still doing.
It's amazing they never had Canada Online, eh? Seems like that would be the an easy thing to do, but they didn't do it.
They couldn't be bothered.
Okay.
But people in Canada could have America Online, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. In fact, many people did.
Oh, all right.
And then when you got mail, it would go, you've got mail.
Would it say it?
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
Famously, it would go, you've got mail.
Oh, that's
cool. Oh, I have mail.
But imagine if you got a lot of mail.
You've got a lot of mail.
I don't think it would say that. I think it would just say it over and over again, right?
There's a lot of porn in here. I'm sorry. Did your mother walk in the room? Whoops. I mean, educational stuff.
Do you really need all this Viagra?
This is all it would say is you've got mail.
Mm.
That's nice. It's friendly. I guess it would get annoying over time.
It would.
Yeah. I know some people that actually have that sound effect of the dial-up thing, you know. So this is very soothing to listen to.
It's very nostalgic, very nostalgia-inducing.
Okay. So before we go away, I wanted to mention something, which is a local comedian passed away yesterday.
Oh.
Her name was Ardell Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
And my relationship to her was, in the 90s, I used to teach a
strictly professional.
That's true. Well, she did not fancy the fellas, I don't think.
Okay.
So by the end, she was married at one point, but then she was married to a woman later on. But no, you're right. Strictly professional. But in the 90s, I taught a comedy class at Langara that was not a great comedy class. Like I was not.
You weren't a great comedy
teacher? I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I wasn't really into doing it, but I tried my best.
Yeah.
And what have you. And I had two students. Who both went off to kind of, because one of the things I would do in the class was I would say, find your own opportunities, make your own comedy nights. You know, if someone's not offering you something, no one can stop you. My thing always is like, no one asked you to do the thing that you love and no one can stop you from doing the thing that you love.
Sure.
If you want to do the thing you love, start a night of your own and then people will gather around you and you'll form your own community.
Great.
And so, two of my students did that. One was a woman whose name was Watermelon.
Okay.
And the other one was Ardell. What's funny about that?
Give me
the only two?
No, it was a terrible joke I was going to
make. No, go ahead.
It's fine.
She likes terrible jokes. Go ahead. It's completely...
One became a stand-up comedian, the other became a rapist. Okay, go on.
Okay, probably wouldn't have liked that one, but fair enough. So, but she started her own comedy night that went into a thing called the Laugh Riot Girls.
So Watermelon was in your class?
Watermelon was in my class as well, and she started her own kind of comedy nights
famously
as well.
Called Watermelon because she sold watermelon at the local nude beach.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I did not instruct her in selling of watermelon. Oh, but by the way, police are going by.
Everybody.
The police did occasionally stop watermelon at that beach, famously as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she was selling stuff other than watermelon.
Right. And now she's like going by her regular name and she's fine. And everything's great with her. Watermelon's going to be doing well. Ardell.
Nice person.
Yeah. She's a very nice person. So Ardell started this thing called the Laugh Riot Girls. And it became, it was an interesting show in that it was mostly women, sometimes, you know, fellas, but for the most part, women. And it was just this great group that wasn't always great, but would not take no for an answer.
Okay.
And just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And Ardell basically had the same stand-up act, I think, for 20 years. 20 years. Like, you'd go see her and she'd still do the same exact act. And you think, like, well, that's annoying. But it wasn't. It was endearing. It was just endearing. Okay. And
did I ever see her?
I can't see how you wouldn't have.
Okay.
Because she was around forever, and so many people started doing stand-up because of her, and she created such a welcoming environment. My sister-in-law, Vicky Van, the first stand-up show she ever did, was one of the Laugh Riot Girls shows, and immediately after the show, Ardell took her aside and was telling her, you should really do that. And that's what she did to so many people and really encouraged her.
Wow.
And so,
it's nice.
You know, it really is. And she was such a positive force in the city for that kind of thing, and so, you know, I always felt a little bit of pride in that, you know, I was there.
And you were always there to counterbalance it.
Yeah, and go like, whenever she said, nix. quit. I would not do that.
We're joking, everyone.
But I always tried, if she asked me to do one of her shows, I would always try and do one of her shows. And it's, you know, she got ill. She was on an oxygen tank for a lot of the last couple of years.
Okay.
She still did stand up though. She just kept doing stand up.
Yeah.
The same act.
Same act. Really? She never incorporated the oxygen tank?
Sometimes she did. I'm sure
she did.
But for the most part, that wasn't the bits.
Wow. That's amazing.
It would still be bits about like her husband and like, we know that you're married to this woman over here. How this? But it's the old bit was that.
Yeah, yeah. Was his name Fang?
No.
Okay.
Similar though.
Yeah.
She did do one. She was old school enough that it was a similar situation. Anyway,
okay.
She was delightful. She was ornery.
Mm.
She was like she was kind of crabby, but she was the kind of crabby that would be, she was like, here's what it was like. It's like one of those relatives who was like, really kind of crabby relative, but was just like, yeah, but hey, you're great. Just never, don't let anyone take any shit from anybody, and you do what you want to fucking do.
Yeah.
All right, man. And there you go. And then she'd still be, well, this air conditioning is too cold, you know, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she was great. And sadly, yeah, she passed away yesterday, and we're worse off for her being gone. And what I'd say to do as a tribute is if you know anyone who needs a little encouragement, encourage them.
Nice.
So that's, I think, one of the best things you could do in her memory. And her name was Ardell Fitzpatrick, and she was quite awesome. So there. That's my thing on her.
Nice. So it's too bad.
It is too bad. But again, we're lucky for the time that we have with these folks, and we don't have forever. So enjoy people. Here's the other thing. Enjoy people while you can.
Sure.
You know, and go see comedy shows. Go enjoy comedy shows.
Sure. And go see The Force Awakens.
Yeah. And if you don't want to see The Force Awakens, go see a live comedy show instead. Why not come and see David?
Yes.
And me.
You.
In a comedy show.
Okay.
If you're in Chilliwack. Can you still do that with the job that you've got?
Sure.
Okay.
It's on a Sunday.
We're going to be in the Chilliwack Cultural Center on November 8th.
Okay.
That's a Sunday.
Yep.
And we're going to be doing James Bond live.
Okay.
And I'm going to be playing Ian Fleming. And David will be playing a character called David Dedrick, who is the stagehand.
Oh, so I'm not actually going to be a stagehand. I'll just be playing a stagehand.
You know what? Because
of
stuff in the show, that's true.
Okay.
But you will also, in character, be doing stagehandy stuff.
Oh, okay.
And we also might be bothering you in the future about helping us with other stuff.
Yeah,
so anyway, that's going to be going on there. James Bond Live. It's a parody of James Bond, obviously, but not necessarily just a total parody.
Mm-hmm.
Because James Bond is public domain in Canada, we can actually do a James Bond. So we're going to do it.
Right. It's not James Bland.
Nope.
It's not James Bond.
Or James Bond, as in The Simpsons.
It's not. It's James Bond.
That's right.
The James Bond.
Well, it is one of James Bond. because there is the James Bond of the movies, and there is the James Bond of the novels. Oh. The James Bond of the movies is not public domain.
Is that right?
The James Bond of the novels, you can tell the difference because the James Bond of the novels has a scar.
Oh.
So our character will have a scar, meaning he's the James Bond of the novels, meaning he is public domain.
Okay.
We will also probably have other public domain characters popping into this as well.
I see. Is it a significantly big scar?
No.
Okay.
It'll be as small as we can make it.
Okay.
Because we don't care about it, aside from the fact that it gives us legal right.
Okay.
To,
so it's not like a big curling scar around his head and down his cheek and around his mouth.
Yeah, he's 90% scar in the face. He's just,
that's what I wanted.
He's very deformed.
I want a really scary James
Would
Bond.
You like a giant scar? Because you could, as Dave Dedrick, the stagehand.
It doesn't make any sense for my character.
You know what? It might,
you know,
actually.
What? I'm trying.
You
I'm,
might be a terrible stagehand.
Listen, it's true, actually.
You've got to make up your own backstory.
A terrible X-Acto knife accident.
But I'm going to be very honest with you right now about, in
finally.
A way that you're not supposed
finally.
To.
Finally. Okay.
That you're not supposed to normally say these kinds of things. Normally, you're supposed to say this. Things are going great. Everything's fantastic. Rehearsals are where it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, we've actually done the show once before, but we're tightening it up. We're making it, but
making it shorter.
But here's the thing, and there we go with Alec Baldwin. I think on Earwolf.
Ding, another dollar.
No,
he's on Airwolf.
No one has time to rehearse.
He's got millions more listeners than
together.
Us.
So we're going to have to do basically an Arrested Development. Now, on Arrested Development, what they did for the season on Netflix they just did was they had to kind of patch it together. Like, those two actors can work together right now. Those two actors can work together right now. Get them. But no one was ever all in the same room at the same time except for maybe one or two scenes. Here's what we have to do is basically I've got to rehearse with all these people separately because no one can do it all at the same time because everyone's so busy. So we've got maybe one rehearsal that we're doing before we had a read through, but we have one rehearsal that we're doing before the actual show. But aside from that, everyone's doing homework on their own and getting all their bits tight.
Wow.
And then we're going to put it together. And so I don't know how this is going to go. I'm winging a prayer on this.
Yeah.
And also we're Vicky Van is going to be doing the technical stuff. She's already shot some video that was in a previous show that was amazing.
You're making your redo it all.
We're not. But she is doing new stuff with pyrotechnics.
Oh.
With explosions. Kay. With I'm recording a song. We're doing a lot of stuff. This could go horribly wrong. So I'm saying to you, if you want to see either a really good show or a complete car accident, November 8th at the Chilliwack Cultural Center.
How much are tickets?
Tickets are money.
Okay.
I don't know.
And you can get tickets.
I think 20 something dollars.
You can get the tickets at the Chilliwack Cultural Center
website.
Okay.
That's right. Or we might put up a link on our page.
Okay.
Perhaps. But if you can come see the show, please do see the show. A lot of people wanted to see it last time we were did at the Real Theater. They couldn't see it, so they're going to come and see it.
Yeah.
This time around, I would advise
for
you to see it.
For the people who missed it, you've restaged it. An hour distant from the theater where it was originally
That's
played.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you get to talk in a car with your friends on the
you
way
get
there.
To see a lot of the Lower Mainland.
And here is something that sounds like I planned it, but I sure didn't.
Okay.
It's starting the same week that the new James Bond film comes out.
Oh.
Spectre comes out.
November 5th.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then, da-da-da, there we go.
So it starts on Thursday and yours is on...
Sunday. Yep, the math.
I had to set the thing. Because I was thinking, why is it opening? Don't they open on a Friday? But they bumped it back.
That's
every
right.
Day.
That's how we do it nowadays.
Yeah.
Everything's Thursday. Bumped back to a Thursday. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Because Thursdays, there's rocking days. Everyone wants to stay up late on Thursdays.
Right. Now, now everyone buys their tickets in advance, too. Everyone's bought their tickets for Star Wars already. You can't get in.
Not me.
No, good luck.
I don't care.
But it's going to be streaming on Netflix.
When it comes out on DVD in the States.
Yeah.
So you still have to wait a while.
It's not going to come out next Thursday. Are you going anywhere? You're not going to be watching TV in a year?
It's not like it's going to be
throwing out your TV set? What are you doing?
It's not like it's going to be out instantly.
It's $8 a month.
You've got to wait a while.
Okay, fine.
Just saying. You made it sound like it was going to come out right away. Like, oh, it's coming to theaters and it's coming to Netflix.
No, it's coming to Chinatown immediately.
I don't want to see people standing up in the movies I watch.
Nope.
In the audience standing up.
Okay. You want all people sitting.
Yeah, I just want people sitting.
The only movie you enjoy watching is Murderball, the movie. Ironside, the movie.
I've seen it once where someone had got a film that was people sent, people had filmed it in the theater. That's not a way to watch a movie.
No, it's also illegal and you would
But that's how I first saw the movie Hard Boiled, the John Woo film. I saw it on a bootleg that's had been caught, been taped in a theater.
Ah.
Because I really wanted to see the film, and that was the only version. And I rented it from a video store, local video store.
What?
Yes, that is.
No.
Yes.
They're gone now, right?
No, they're still open.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, that was the only way anyone could see it, so that's how they had it available.
Yeah, but it's illegal.
I guess.
No, it is.
Okay.
It's not, I guess. You know, no, it's illegal. You can't rent it.
No, he winked when he sold it, when he rented it to me.
Yeah, he
winked.
Was flirting. So it was okay. He was flirting with
me. No, he was just saying, this is okay, wink. Uh-huh. Don't worry about this, wink, wink.
And he charged you the same amount that he normally would for, like, a legitimate.
Sure. Then he winked.
And then someone stood up in the movie and blocked Mr.
No,
Hardboiled.
That didn't happen, actually. I didn't see anyone stand up. This is a different film where someone stood up. Because we were watching, we're like, this is a terrible... this is at the cabin, so we were just... They bring, like, a disc full of movies, and we were just watching this one. I can't remember what the film was now, and we were watching it, and I'm like, this is a terrible image of... where did this come from? And suddenly someone stood up. I was like, oh... Someone's taping this in the theater.
Imagine if this happened then.
Ridiculous.
So the person stands up, right? And you're watching the movie. Say it's a horror movie.
Okay.
The person stands up and then he turns and looks at you and just goes, you're under arrest. And then the doors kick in and they just come in and they drag you out.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
It would be good actually if they stood up in the theater and then it became incorporated into the film you're watching.
I have wanted to do that for a while.
Okay.
To make a movie actually called Bootleg that you can actually see the heads of some people in the theater.
Yeah.
And so you're watching the horror movie and you're watching the heads and things are happening in the to the audience that you kind of can pick up on.
Yeah.
And then you build on both plots simultaneously and see what happens.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. We'll work on that later after I'm finished this goddamn James Bond thing. folks, we'd love to hear from you. And and you can hear literally from Dave if you go to sneakydragon.com, check out Dave's address, send him a CD. He will send you a mixtape.
I'll send you a
mixtape. And
there'll
be a hidden message in that mixtape that will lead you to a treasure.
Yes.
A treasure
of good music.
Of good music, yeah.
And it might even be annotated. I don't know. I don't know how much work I want to put into this.
Yeah, you might throw some videos on there, too.
No, I just meant...
Of you working at the warehouse.
I just meant some lists. Annotated. I didn't say animated. Annotated.
Fine. Why are we yelling? Why are we fighting in front of company?
No, you're giving the wrong impression. You know, I'm not going to send a video.
Have you been juicing because you're working at this place now and you have to get the muscles
doing,
up?
I have been doing a lot of stir, a lot of andro. A lot of andro.
Androtating?
What's that?
Androtating?
What's andro? What?
It's like annotating, but androtating. God damn it. So anyway.
It didn't work. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You tried.
Didn't work for Dave.
It was a valiant effort.
He's on the juice. So anyway, sneakydragon.com is our website. We also have our message boards there. We love to hear from you. Answer if that joke worked or not. It's up to you.
Please do. We need a doctor's opinion.
Only answer if you're a doctor. And not like an honorary doctor.
No.
If you got an honorary doctorate, shut the fuck up.
Yes. Please do.
Anyway. by the way, that's the way the healthcare system.
That's a lot of our audience gone.
That's the healthcare system in Canada, is we can see doctors anytime, but only people with honorary doctorates.
That's right. It's a problem.
Yeah. So it's a lot of like philosophy and weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Actors. We also are on Facebook. You know how to look us up on Facebook. Sneaky Dragon.
I've heard of it.
And then you go to there. If you want to go to Twitter, occasionally we post on Twitter. That is at sneaky_dragon.
Yep.
So do that. And if you want to email us, which some of you do, and it's nice to hear from you, we're at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
Yes.
That is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
And if you want to chainmail us, get your father's sword and come on down.
Yeah, you know, like you would in any Japanese movie.
Yes, Boothby-san.
Sure. My wife was so happy. She wants to learn Japanese, and we just found out that there's a place that teaches Japanese like half a block from our house.
It's actually in the restaurant that you guys really like as well. It's the same thing. You eat at the restaurant and learn Japanese.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, if you read the menu, I guess you learn some.
Sure.
Dave doesn't go to Japanese restaurants. He's always like, we walk in and he goes, remember Pearl Harbor? And he like leaves. It's like, they know. Get over it, Dave.
Yeah.
Get over it. But he also does remember the Alamo a lot.
I do. I get all upset about the Alamo as well. Dog food.
Nope.
Alamo
nope.
Dog food?
Nope.
Was not
nope.
That wasn't
not
dog
at all.
Food, was
nope.
it?
Nope.
Wasn't?
Nope. Alpo.
No, I'm pretty sure Alamo is dog food.
Yep, that's right. When you put ice cream on your dog food, then it's called Alamo.
Guys, I meant car rental. I got dog food and car rental mixed up.
We couldn't apologize more for this show. hope you all have a happy Halloween. Remember, be nice.
The Alamo.
Be nice to remember the Alamo. Be nice to cats.
Dog food.
Don't dress just in black.
Don't
give raisins. People don't like them.
You can give chocolate covered raisins though.
You can give chocolate covered raisins. If you give toothbrushes, you're a jerk.
Oh.
If you give comic books, give the free comic book. You know, that's okay.
Also give candy.
Also, but also give candy.
Don't just give comic books.
It's all right to just give comic books. If you give those free comic books, isn't it?
Is that for the parents? Is that a is that like a euphemism?
What?
He gave good comic books.
Since you've been working in a warehouse, you have a real potty mouth. Anyway, I've been Ian Boothby.
And sorry.
That's the end of the show. Bye. Done.
I was going to say something bad, and then I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't.
Yep. Just making a hat trick, all the bad things that were said.